Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Sometimes there's no words, but you know what's in each one of our hearts this morning. We all have something on our heart this morning, and you know what that is. And dear Lord, I'd like to lift up the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. We've been praying for the international ministries this week for the last 8 days, and I ask you to bless this today, dear Lord. And also, if there's anyone here today that don't know you as their Savior, I ask that you speak through their heart today, and I ask bless the message that Brother Cal's about to bring, and I ask you to bless Billy Walker as he brings a Sunday school lesson after church. In your name I pray, dear Lord. Amen.
Good morning. It is Lottie Moon Sunday, and I pray that you've been praying about giving your best gift to our international missionaries this morning. You're going to have an opportunity to do that during our giving time. But, you know, hadn't this been a good Christmas so far? I mean, it's been a tough Christmas. A lot of you all took things down to Jenkins and Wind, and they've taken a lot of those things already. They took them Friday to the folks up in Mayfield, Kentucky. It's been a tremendous season of ministry here at Second Mile Church. When you spent 20 years at another church, you just don't get that out of your system. But anyways, and I also wanted to thank y'all, for those of you that came out to go Christmas caroling with us. We had a top shelf time, wasn't it? I mean, we got to sing to 14 shut-ins, widows and widowers, and it was a great, great evening of just, I think we sent like 20-something out to the north end of town, and the rest of us went to the Sango and St. Bethlehem and Hilldale area. There was over 40 folks that came out to be a blessing to others. So thank you all for coming, and we've been doing a lot of ministry this month, and the Christmas auction was a huge success, and that money is going to help a bunch of families. I think Peggy said 37 children, something like that, are going to be able to enjoy Christmas this year. And we had a couple in our church that offered to provide a place for a pastor in Kentucky to live in their lake house for 4 months or so. And I just want to thank you for being a ministering, serving, giving church. Let's give God praise. Now, to get to the message this morning, we are in the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 4 is really the climactic chapter in this great love story. About 15 years ago, Dr. Jerry Vines convinced me that the book of Ruth was really the Christmas story. And it is, because it begins with a famine and a funeral and ends in a wedding. And it's a love story. And it really climaxes into the birth of a baby boy born in Bethlehem. Is that not the Christmas story? And so I want to talk to you this morning about redemption. And Ruth and Boaz would wind up being married here in chapter 4 on the basis of redemption. And the Israelite people, for those of you that are visiting this morning, if they had a provision in the law that said if your property was lost either through poverty or through death, then a redeemer could come along, a goel could come along and pay the price to redeem your property and everything else that went with it in order for your family name to be, you know, to continue on in the inheritance that was normally yours that had been lost. And so that took place through this redemption process. And so we see Boaz doing what only Boaz could do as the redeemer that Ruth needed. Ruth was an outcast. She was a Moabite woman. She couldn't have anything to do with the Jewish faith because of her background. And she needed God's grace, and so she needed a redeemer. And you've all heard the story over the last few weeks of how they returned to Bethlehem. She came back with her mother-in-law, and they come through the city gates. And she's bitter. She's angry. She's lost her husband, her two son-in-laws, and this Moabite daughter-in-law of hers had come back to Bethlehem with her. And then amazingly, God was working behind the scenes to bring Ruth into the family of God. Not just into the family of Boaz, but into the family of God. He was providing a redeemer for her and for Naomi, her mother-in-law. And so in chapter 1, we saw Ruth coming to the hometown of Boaz. And then in chapter 2, we see Ruth working in the fields of Boaz. In chapter 3, we see Ruth sitting and laying at the feet of Boaz. Y'all think these are coincidences? No. God's providence is at work. His grace is at work. And then in chapter 4, which we're going to get into here this morning, we see grace. We see the marvelous grace of God bringing Ruth into the family of Boaz. And so I want us to just kind of move through this narrative in chapter 4 this morning. And we're not going to stand like we normally do because we've got a lot of verses I need to cover this morning. But you just honor God's word whenever it's read. If you'll respond by saying amen. Amen. That was kind of weak. Amen. Do we need to stand up and read the whole chapter? All right, now I want you to, if I do anything in my time here at Second Mile, I pray that you would, whenever my time is to go elsewhere, to go on, that the Word of God will be near and dearer to your heart than it was before we got here. Amen? Amen. The Word of God's the greatest, can't separate the written Word from the living Word. All right, we see some what I call redemption preparations being made for this wedding to take place. Now, normally, a bride and a bride's family would take care of all these wedding preparations. But back in Boaz's day, it was not so. The groom took care of everything. I'll never forget it, Diana, when our oldest daughter got married, we went through months of planning and preparations, and that wedding cost a lot of money, and that's back in 2006. And there was a lot of stress in our home. Come on, ladies. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So much so that when my second daughter got engaged, she came to me and she said, "Dad, can I just have the money that you spent on Brittany's wedding, and me and Josh are going to go to New Zealand and get married?" And I said, "Absolutely." So we got her married over Skype, and it was an amazing thing. Anyways, so Boaz is making all the preparations for this wedding, and everything, first of all, had to be done legally. Look at verse 1. "Now, Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, 'Come aside, friend, sit down here.' So he came aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, 'Sit down here.' So they all sat down." And so we see preparations being made legally for this redemption to take place for Ruth and Naomi's property. So now we have learned that Boaz was one who was near of kin. And he was a mighty man of wealth. And so he was able to redeem the property and to redeem Ruth. And he was we know that he was willing to make that possible. And so we see Boaz going to the city gates. That's where all the business transactions took place in the days. Kind of like going down to the courthouse square. I've learned through some history that, if you wanted to be anywhere, years ago in Clarksville, on Saturday, you wanted to be at the downtown square. That's where business took place. That's where everybody that was anybody, that's where they showed up on Saturday. How many of you young folks remember those days? Amen. All right. So he's at the city gates. That's where kind of the courthouse square. That's where all these business transactions would take place. And so he sits down and begins to make preparations. And my heart went to Hebrews 10:12. That the Bible says, but this man, after making one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. You do know that Jesus meets all the requirements to be our Redeemer, just like Boaz met all the requirements to be Ruth's Redeemer. Y'all with me so far? So he's making preparations legally. By law, he was a near of kin. He was able to pay. He was willing to pay and make that purchase. And so we see everything being done legally. And then we see preparations being made willingly. Look at verse 3. Then he said to the close relative, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. You remember, oh my God is king? He's passed away. And I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there's no one but you to redeem it, and I'm next after you. And he said, I will redeem it. Now, the story kind of takes a twist here. They're sitting in the city gates. Boaz has the 10 elders, 10 judges, to hear this redemption case. And all of a sudden, there's someone that was nearer of kin to Elimelech and Naomi than Boaz was. And by legal rights, he was to be the first redeemer. He had the first choice, the first shot at it. And so this guy's walking by, and Boaz says, hey man, come on over here and sit down with us. You've heard about Naomi and how she's come back and her husband Elimelech has died, and da-da-da-da-da. He goes through the story with her. He said, now, her property needs to be redeemed. Her property needs to be purchased, so restored, because they've lost it. Are you going to be willing to redeem that property? You want to buy it? And the old boy looks at the property and says, yeah, this man's pretty good property. It's a pretty good piece of land. I think I will buy it. I will redeem it. And then Boaz plays his trump card. Are y'all ready for verse 5? About 6 of y'all are ready. Okay. Verse 5, then Boaz said, on the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead. You remember Elimelech's son, Mahlon? He had been married. He was married to Ruth. Well, he's dead now too. So not only did you have to redeem the property, Ruth needed to be redeemed. Okay? To perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance. And the closer relative said, I can't redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I can't redeem it. And you see what's going on here? This old boy's got another wife. He's saying, I don't need a second wife. I don't need another wife. Come on, guys, do you need two women? I mean, it's enough to, And so he says, I don't want to mess up my inheritance. I don't want to mess. Some of y'all are just sitting there grinning and smiling. But that's what's happening here. All the preparations are being made willingly and legally. And of course, Boaz jumps all over that. Yeah, I'll redeem her. If you don't want her, I'll take her. And I'll pay for the whole thing, lock, stock, and barrel. Amen? What a great redeemer Boaz was. He's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 7. Now in those days, you know, whenever you did something legally in the presence of witnesses, you didn't sign a bunch of papers. You did something symbolic of the act that was taking place. Look at verse 7. Now, this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm anything, one man took off his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was a confirmation in Israel. Therefore, the close relative said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. So he took off his sandal. Have you got the picture? They're all sitting down. And the closer relative says, you know what? I don't need this. This is something I just need to pass on to you, Boaz. And he takes off his sandal, the party who was unwilling to redeem, and gives it to the party who's willing to redeem. And Boaz takes it in front of all these witnesses, And you know what verse came to my mind? Anybody know what Romans 5:8 says? But God demonstrated. That word demonstrated means put on public display. But God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. The greatest demonstration of God's love took place 2,000 years ago on a cross. And the Lord of glory died and paid the price for your redemption. Every drop of redeeming blood that was spilled for you willingly. You see how this ties into the Christmas story? Boaz is a great picture of a Goel, a redeemer. But our redeemer lives. He's not dead anymore. He's alive. And some of you need to meet Him. And some of the rest of us need to get up there with Him and follow Him. Hallelujah. I saw something on, I'm on social media a little bit too much sometimes. But there was a post yesterday on Twitter that said, you know, Jesus never did say to admire Him. What He said is to follow Him. Isn't that good? That's another sermon. Y'all will get that one in 2022 maybe. All right, so we see Boaz making preparations for redemption. And then there's some proclamations that take place. Redemption proclamation. Here it is in verse 9. And Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and all that was Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I've acquired as my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from his position at the gate. You are witnesses this day. This was a public proclamation. And the witnesses all said, hey, Boaz, we get it. You are the redeemer for this family. And you're going to purchase everything that needs to be done in order, lock, stock, and barrel, in order for Ruth and her family and Naomi to be redeemed. Wow. The price was paid. You see, the marriage is good as it's a done deal. And he hadn't even seen her coming down the aisle yet. He's already paid the price. I could go on here and say a few things about marriage and wedding, but we'll do that later. But I want to tell you, I'm so thankful that our Redeemer paid the price for us. Amen. There's nothing you can go out here and do to earn it. You're not good enough. I'm not good enough. On my best day, doing my best work, doing my very best deed, it's like throwing a filthy rag in God's face. We need His righteousness, you see, not ours. And so Jesus has paid the price, but oh, here's the best part. The curse is removed. Not only was the price paid, the proclamation was made. Hey, she belongs to you now, Boaz. All the witnesses agree. But I want you to, this is not just any proclamation by these witnesses. It's a prophetic proclamation. Look at verse 11. Man. And all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who's coming to your house like Rachel and Leah. Now, who are they? They're the matriarchs of the 12 tribes of Israel. They were the mothers of Jacob's boys. Remember? Y'all have read that before. And so they bring these two up, these witnesses in this prophetic proclamation. Now, watch this. Don't miss this. The two who built the house of Israel, and may you, Boaz, prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman. You understand what's going on here? Not only has the price for redemption been paid, but the curse of sin has been lifted. It's been removed. And now, Ruth, her redemption is complete, and her past has been swept away. I mean, I told you all this before, but there's a billboard over towards Jackson, Tennessee that says, "The next time the devil brings up your past, bring up his future." Aren't you thankful that Jesus has taken care of your past? He has set you free from the penalty and the power and even one day the presence of sin itself. The redemption has been paid for. The curse has been lifted. You're no longer under the curse of sin. Sin has no power over you. Sin has no penalty against you. God, no one can ever throw that back in God's face again or in your face again because Jesus Christ has paid the redemption price. And the curse has been removed. Naomi's burdens are gone. The mother-in-law. Whoo! You remember how she came back home, remember? She told all them gossiping women, she said, "Don't call me Mrs. Pleasant, call me Mrs. Bitter." She came home mad at God, empty, barren, bitter, backslidden. And man, it's a wonder. You know what? I heard an evangelist say one time, "It's a wonder God don't kill us all." Bad grammar, but excellent theology. God never gave up on Naomi. And He never gave up on Ruth. And here's better news. He'll never give up on you. Look at your neighbor. Tell him. He hadn't forgotten about you. God with us. Isn't that the Christmas story? God with us. Whew. The curse has been lifted. Now, I'm just going to give you some food for thought right here. I'm going to let you kind of into some really cool information. Boaz and Ruth are married. And the proclamation that's been made is, "You're going to be famous in Bethlehem, Ruth and Boaz." And by the way, who are we talking about today? Yeah, but we're also talking about Boaz and Ruth, right? Now, I think there's another reference here that goes all the way down the road to Jesus. Because He's another baby boy that was born in Bethlehem and His birth changed the world. But, see, you'll now be famous in Bethlehem. Whew. The curse has been lifted. And I'm sitting here looking at you all. You think you're looking at me? Uh-uh. I'm looking at you. And the difference that a Redeemer can make is unbelievable. Did you know there's some missionaries sitting? You know, you think you've been praying about missions this week and you're fixing to give to missions? God's calling some of you to be missionaries. You know it and He knows it, but you hadn't told a soul. You too can be famous in Bethlehem. I believe there's some church workers up in here, some deacons, some Sunday school teachers, some worship team leaders. Some tech team servers. There's a reason God redeemed you. And if He was done right after He saved you, if He was done with, He would have just taken you on to heaven. But what did He do? He left you here to bring Him glory and honor. And that's what this life's all about. Y'all saw a boy who preached for me here. And I was his Sunday school teacher. You never know what God's going to do with something. And that young man's working for the Tennessee Baptist Mission Board, dealing with 22 counties and 13 associations and a bunch of hard-headed, stubborn pastors. That's what old Josh Franks is doing. And I'm going to tell you, you'd not only be famous in Bethlehem, you'd be famous in Waynesboro. I don't know what God's doing here today. But I want to tell you what, He hadn't changed and He is still calling men and women and boys and girls. Avery, you keep pounding that basketball, son. And you can make a difference in people's lives. Whew. There's so much here. I could go on and on. We need to move on. But look at this redemption provision. I didn't even tell you. Do you know who Ruth's great-grandson wound up being? King David. The greatest king Israel ever had. And guess who was born several generations in after David in his line and in his lineage and also in the family line of Ruth? Guess who? Yeah. You tell me God doesn't have something going on right now? The curse has been lifted. It's been removed. And you can become all God wants you to be. Some of y'all are going to get this when you get home. And you're just almost going to get Baptist-costal about it. You mean God will use me? Yes, sirree. I'm living proof God will use anybody. You can be famous in Bethlehem. And aren't you thankful for our famous Redeemer, our famous Savior, the Lord Jesus? Hallelujah. All right, those are the gospel, the redemption preparations and redemption proclamations that are made. But I want you to see the redemption provisions. Look at verse 13. Ruth is now redeemed. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went in to her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Now, you remember when Naomi first got back to town with Ruth, and the women were doing this? Oh, there's Naomi. She doesn't look so good now. Well, listen to what they're saying now. Look at verse 14. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close relative, without a redeemer, without a goel. And may his name be famous in Israel." Whew. Ruth is now redeemed. Isn't that great news? The scripture says in Deuteronomy 23 that a Moabite, even down to the 10th generation, couldn't even go to the temple. Couldn't worship. Couldn't be a part of things. But by the grace of Almighty God, He brought Ruth into Boaz's family, but more than that, He brought her into His family. And there's somebody here this morning, and you need to be redeemed. Christ has paid the price for your sin debt, paid in full. And He wants the curse of sin to be lifted up off of you. And in order to receive that redemption, all you've got to do is receive it by faith, being willing to turn from your sin and turn to Him and Him alone. That's the gospel news right there. That's the good news of Jesus. And so Ruth is redeemed. Whew, aren't you thankful for the gospel provision of Jesus Christ? But here's what I really kind of wanted to get to, because I think this is where most of us are at this morning. Naomi is reclaimed. Look at verse 15. And listen to what the women tell her now. "And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him." I'm sitting here thinking about all you daughters-in-law and all you sons. That's a message for us, isn't it? "Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. And also the neighbor women gave him a name." They named her son, her grandson, and Ruth's son, they named him what? "And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David." Have you got the picture now? Not only has Ruth been redeemed, poor old Naomi has been reclaimed. She was once bitter, sour, blaming God for her circumstances. And now her heart is filled with joy because God has provided for her and her family. Has God been good to you? And you know, from time to time in our lives, believers take a step away from God. We do. I'm the poster child for this. But at the age of 25, God wrapped His loving arms around me and said, "Why don't you come on back home, big boy?" And I did. God gave me a second chance. There's Taylor Teets. God bless, and Samantha. God bless you all. Help me, Jesus, here. And God allowed me to come back home. You see, it's not God who walks away from us. It's we're the ones who walk away from Him. And some of you all need to be reclaimed. You need to come today in a spirit of revival. God's not done with you yet. How do I know that? You're still here. God's not finished with you. I'm so thankful that God is in the reclamation business. He's not only in the redemption business, He's in the reclamation business. He will restore you. He's got a bigger plan and purpose for you than you can even begin to imagine. And oh, you know what I've been praying for this weekend? For revival to fall on this church. We need revival. Clarksville needs King Jesus. Clarksville, Montgomery County needs a Redeemer. And the only one that qualifies for that position is Jesus. And guess what? We're the folks that can get Him to them. My life is so full. I never dreamed. Don't tell the finance team this, but I would do what I'm doing for free. And by the way, I have before, many times. I don't know why God's so good to me. But He is full of grace. And He's full of mercy. And some of you here today probably need to be saved. You've never experienced the power of God on your life. You don't understand these things that we're talking about. And God wants to change your life. You need to be changed. You know it and He knows it. You may have your name on a church roll somewhere. Guess what? That church isn't going to save you. As great as my love is for Second Mile Church ain't going to get you to heaven. Ain't going to give you what you need. Only Jesus can do that. And if you would come to Him today in a spirit of brokenness and repentance and faith, and just call on Him. There's no perfect prayer that you can pray. God's looking right here. And if you would just ask God to forgive you of your sin and surrender wholeheartedly to Him and ask Him to take control of your life. My Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Somebody needs to be redeemed here this morning. I don't know who it is, but God knows and you know. And we're going to give you an opportunity to pray in just a minute. But I think the majority of us in here, and I don't know this, only you and God know this, but I think most of you in here are probably saved, but many of you in here need revival. You need a fresh move of God on your life. God specializes in reclamation projects. I'm one of them. And you can be too. And that simply comes by saying, "Lord, I am so sorry I've disappointed you, that I've grieved your spirit, that I've shunned you, and I've walked away from you, but I believe I'm your child, and your word tells me that I can come home. And today I want to come home and become all you want me to be." And many of you here probably need to pray a prayer. Can you think of anything any better at Christmas time than to give Jesus what He may not already have, all of your heart? What a Christmas gift. Let's pray. Father, right now, under the inspiration and revelation of the Holy Spirit, I pray for those that need to be redeemed, for those that need to be saved. Right now where you sit, just ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin. Surrender your heart and life to Him. Claim Him by faith. He's alive today. Ask Him to be your Redeemer. And He will. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to come share that with me in just a minute. But Father, there's others here today that are already saved. But for some reason, circumstances, situations have led to stepping away from You, and they need to come in a spirit of revival. And they need to be reclaimed as Yours. Just like Naomi. Oh God, would You do a work here amongst us this morning? Don't let us just sit here in some chair, in some pew, some place here in this house of worship. Help us to be obedient to what You're telling us to do today. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. If you have prayed this morning and done what I've just shared with you and asked God to forgive you of your sin, and by faith you have trusted Him as your only means of salvation, and this is the first and only time you need to do that, if you really mean business with God, I want you to come and tell me, I pray to receive Christ today. And I'll get some information in your hands that you need to get you started in your new life with Christ. And then others that are here, and you know, you're not experiencing God's best right now. And you need revival in your life. We're going to have prayer warriors and counselors up here to pray with you and pray over you. But it's in your lap. You've got to make that choice. I can't make it for you.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.